Praise the Lord. Message number 49. The title of the message, The Foundation for the Family. Let's open our Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And let us read from verse 18 to verse 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Thank you for your word, O Lord, that you give to us, that will make things clear to us, Lord, and to help us to apply your word into our life. Lord, I pray that the message will be clear, and the purpose of sending this message to your people shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus. Lord, arrange the message in the way that you want it to be. This all we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. We read in the scripture that Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. The same also we can read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 27, it says that to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So they were pledged to get married, they were betrothed, but they have not yet married, or they come together as a husband and wife. While they were at that stage, Joseph and Mary, Joseph discovered that she is pregnant, and Joseph decided to divorce her quietly. Now, how they are a pledge, they are not yet married, but it says here that he had decided to divorce her. In the Old Testament, when they are pledged, a woman who is pledged to marry a man that they had already agreed and confirmed, she considered as married woman. And if there is any reason to separate from her, he need to give a divorce certificate. We can read that in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 23 and verse 24. If a man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married and he sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. The girl, because she was in a town and did not scream for help, and the man, because he violated another man's wife, you must purge the evil from among you. So he considered here the woman who is a pledge to get married. She is another man's wife, as if they are already married. And that is what they were following in the Old Testament. And that is the word of God and the will of God and the true foundation for a family. What we find here, that people courting each other or dating with one another, an emotion and love and lust between them, but there is no yet confirmation that they are called by God to marry one another. What the word of God teach us, and we learn here from the example of Joseph and Mary. The word of God here, it makes very clear that this family setup of Joseph and Mary, they are the example for us as a church to follow. Because God would not put his son, Jesus Christ, in a bad family. Because the family should take care of the children. And as the Lord had placed his son in a family to take care of him, as we know, Jesus was born as a human. So he need a parents who are righteous people to take care of him and to raise him up according to the will of God and according to the word of God. Let us discuss more about the arrangement for marriage and the foundation of the family from this story and what the word of God teach us. What is going around us, as we have spoken, girl and boys, they go for dating, they will go for attracting one another and love affairs and courting one another, and they express emotions and lust toward one another without confirmation of the go signals from the Lord upon their life to get married and be husband and wife. This is a dangerous way of family foundation. First, it have to be sure that God has called that particular man and God has called that particular woman for marriage. How it be confirmed? When both of them are prepared physically, there is a place for living, there is an income. Plus, confirm that both of them are spiritually aware the word of God and the will of God and the plan of God in their life. And then it confirmed that God had called that particular woman to unite with that particular man. When all these are confirmed, physical preparation and spiritually they are prepared, then God would confirm to them it had also to be conferred, already confirmed to the church and to their families, that God had called this particular man and this particular woman to come together as a husband and wife. First they will be getting together to be pledged for marriage, not yet married, not yet physical union between them, and that will be called a betrothal period and betrothal time, preparing them for the coming family and marital life. And during this period, they will be encouraged to build up a love between them. Not before that, not before full agreement and full confirmation by the Lord about their calling to be married together. Not before that. After everything is sure that God had called them, it confirmed, then they will be encouraged to love one another. But what kind of love they are encouraged, or what kind of love we as a church encourage those who are going to get married, those who are betrothed for marriage? We as a church, we need to follow that. First, both of them are prepared physically, and spiritually they are maturing and they know what is marital life. And third, they are called by the Lord, and it's confirmed that God had called them, God had called them to marry, and they have the vision of the Lord. Then we announce that those are now betrothed, and we pray for them that there will be a preparation for their marriage and to live as a family. During the period of preparation, we encourage them to love one another. But what kind of love that you encourage? Not the eros love or the lusty love or the worldly love. We encourage them to love one another in the way that the Lord loves us, with the love of the Lord, with the love of God. What kind of love? First, agape love, unconditional love or sacrificial love. I'm going to love this woman not because she is beautiful, not because she is rich, not because she have job, not because of all the possible reason. I'm going to love her because God had called her to be my wife. However, how the Lord loved me unconditionally. If she is beautiful or no, I will love her. If she is rich or no, I will love her. If she is healthy or sick, I'm going to love her. And I'm going to love her without any condition. I love her because God loved me and God wants me to love her. I'm going to love her sacrificially. As Christ offered his life for the church, man loves his wife and offer his life to care for the wife and care for the family. The second type of love that should be encouraged is the Philadelphia love, the brotherly kindness love. I'm going to love this woman as my sister in the Lord. I will care for her, I will help her in the work in the house. When she is carrying the children, I am there beside her to help her and love her as a dear sister in the Lord, and I carry the burden that she is carrying. In the same way, the woman will be taught how to love her husband in the love of the Lord, unconditionally, whether he is handsome or no, whether he is rich or no. Today maybe he has a job, tomorrow he lost his job. She is already prepared to love him unconditionally. Sacrificially, she is willing to give and to give up for the sake of the family. Also, the fidelity love, the brotherly kindness love. He is my brother. I will care for him. I will help him. I will carry the burden with him. As the church now is the wife of Jesus, but we are not yet married. What we are waiting for the Lord to come, when he will come, we'll have the wedding supper of the Lamb. It will be in the sky. We'll be meeting with the Lord, and we will have the wedding supper with the Lord. While we are waiting, the Lord is preparing us, and we are prepared day after day how to live our life for the Lord, so that the life that we are going to live in heaven, we are walking on such kind of life while we are on earth. The same, the man and the woman who are betrothed, they are looking forward and preparing themselves physically and mindfully, how that when they are married, how they will live as a family, as husband and wife, and how they will function responsibly toward one another and toward the children that God is going to give them. So here, there is no a place for lust or worldly type of love, because God loves us unconditionally, and Christ loves us, and he gave his life for us. He helped us, he saved us, he carried us, he carried our burdens and give us our needs. The same, that kind of love will be developed during the betrothal period between the man and woman who are betrothed to get married. Now, we'll go to the scripture that we have choose as a foundation for the family. The life of Joseph and Mary. Now, while they were betrothed, and Mary was found to be with the child through the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Lord revealed to Joseph the nature of that pregnancy, Joseph decided to keep Mary and to take her as a wife, because he was a righteous man. And if you would not be a righteous man, he would not accept that thing. As he was a righteous man, then he would accept the unconditional love of God that he need to offer to Mary, and the brotherly kindness and the brotherly love that he did to offer to Mary and helping her in her calling by God to carry our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, why we as a church, we are not called to ordain marriages of non-believers, and we are not called to ordain marriages to those who are not committed to Christ, because simply they will not be able to develop such kind of love that will push the family forward. The last kind of love, or the worldly way of love, or the passionate way of love between men and women, and that lead to lust and eros and sex, that will not maintain the family. It will be just a taste, and after that the fight will start, because that is the flesh. Such kind of love, lustful and type of eros love, only the aim is sex, it will not push the family forward. But it is originated from the flesh, and it will end up with a strife and fight and a quarrel and separation and breaking of the families. Therefore, as a church, we follow the pattern that the Word of God give us. Joseph was a righteous man, and sure, God had called also a righteous woman to marry him. The same we follow. And then, when we are sure, confirm, and that is not their choice, but God's choice, it was not his choice that Joseph will marry Mary, it was God's choice. And even when he decided to leave her, but God spoke to him to keep her, he followed God because he was a righteous man. God wants such kind of family, a Christian family, and he wants his church to ordain such kind of marriages. Now, why we emphasize of such kind of love, unconditional, sacrificial, brotherly, kindness love? Because keeping the responsibility of marriage is not an easy task. From the same example of this family, the family of Joseph and Mary, whom God had called to care for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they face troubles, and God allowed it because that is God's will, that we will face troubles. But since we have the love of God, the unconditional and the sacrificial love, the brotherly kindness love, we can carry on as a family. And that's why, as a church, those who are called by God to marry, and we are sure about it, we ordain these marriages. We officiate such kind of marriages, because after that the family will be built up, and we are sure that this couple will carry on with God's will and God's plan. In Luke chapter 2, while Mary was pledged to Joseph, let us read what had happened. Let's read verse 1 to verse 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in a cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, that is the first trial that they were facing. While she was pregnant, Joseph needed to take care with her child that she's pregnant with, and he needed to travel long distance from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to the town of David, town of Bethlehem. It's a long distance travel. How they were able to do it, how Joseph was able to do it, because he was a righteous man. In his heart, for Mary, the love of God. He loved her with the love of the Lord, the unconditional, the sacrificial, the brotherly kindness of love. You know, in the book of Matthew, as we have read, when it is written, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Through the betrothal period, the ministry of the Holy Spirit will work in the life of the man and the woman who are pledged to get married. And the Holy Spirit will build up in them the true love that God wants to see in their life. The same love of God to His church, and the same love of the church to Christ when the church obeys the commands of God. The value of a righteous people get married, there will be a righteous family and righteous setup and righteous children. How God spoke to Joseph to keep Mary, He spoke to him through dream. God can reach righteous people and speak to them easily. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and he told him, don't afraid. What he called him? Joseph, son of David. David is a king. And Joseph, the son of David. He was a descendant of David. He told him, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This is the first time that God spoke to Joseph in a dream. As a righteous man, Joseph, he can hear the voice of God. As a righteous man, he is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Why we, as a church, ordain only the marriages of the righteous people? Because righteous people, they are sensitive to God, they are sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they are obedient to the Lord. And righteous people, God can speak to them easily. What is mentioned in the Bible, 4 times the Lord has spoke to Joseph through a dream. Matthew chapter 2, the second time that God spoke to Joseph through a dream, after the Magi's left. Verse 13, Matthew 2:13, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That was the second dream. So he got up and he took the child and his mother and he left for Egypt. The third time God spoke to Joseph through a dream. In verse 19, Matthew 2:19, after he had died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Verse 20, and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. This is the third time. Because he's a righteous man, God can easily speak to him. The fourth time God spoke to him, in verse 21-22, Matthew 2, verse 21-22. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. Now this is the fourth time he is going to Judea, to Judah, to settle there, because he belonged to Judah. But when he heard about that Archelaus was reigning instead of his father Herod, he was doubt about it, if he need to go there or he have to change his direction. While he was doubting, the Lord sent him an angel and he spoke to him in a dream to move to Galilee. That is the value of a righteous man. Being a righteous man, Joseph was able to take the right decision and the right step. And that's why we are then a righteous people for marriage, because the righteous people can take the right decision and they can take the right step, and we are sure that God can speak to them when it is needed. They are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't ordain marriages with non-believers or those who are not committed to Christ, or marriages that based on the lust of the flesh, because such kind of people, they cannot manage or lead their families in the way that God wants them to be. They need to wait. We need to wait for them until they are mature and aware what is going on. Then we will think about marriage. Being a righteous man, what else we can speak about Joseph? Matthew chapter 1 verse 22, when the angel appeared to him the first time and he told him, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. She is pregnant with the Holy Spirit and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. In verse 22 and 23, when the angel told him, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the word of the Lord and the prophecies from the book of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 speak about that the virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The angel of the Lord reminded Joseph, the Holy Spirit reminded him when he saw the dream about the scripture, because Joseph, being a righteous man, he knew the scripture of the Lord. So he is led by the Spirit, instructed by the word of God. Being a righteous man, he knows his responsibilities. He knows his priorities. He knows his commitment. He knows his responsibility toward God, toward the family, toward the wife, toward the children, toward the church, toward the decrees and the commands of the Lord. The Lord placed his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a righteous family. Joseph was a righteous man, because Jesus was born as a child, as a human. He needed godly parents to raise him up in the fear of the Lord. Let's read Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. We are speaking here about the foundation for marriage and family. As God entrusts His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to a godly parents, we as a church, we ordain marriages that are ordained by the Lord, and among righteous couple who are willing to follow God, or who are following God, they are a candidate to raise up a righteous and godly children. Luke chapter 2 verse 21. On the 8th day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. So here, he was circumcised. Jesus was circumcised according to the law of Moses, because that is the law of God. And Joseph was a righteous man. He followed the law of God. He did the right things for Jesus, and that's what God wants. And that's why we ordain godly marriages. We ordain righteous people and their marriages, because we are sure they will do exactly what God wants them to do. Verse 22 to verse 24. Here we can read, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem. They took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now here, they fulfill their responsibility toward God. He is a firstborn. We consecrated him to the Lord. They know their requirement. In verse 41, Luke 2, 41, it says, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. That is, they are fulfilling their responsibility toward the church. They need to go to the Passover. They are troubled with the family. Verse 42, speak about one incident while Jesus was 12 years old. So why till now we need a godly parents and righteous parents? Because they will teach the child. How they will teach the children? A godly way. They will live the word of God. They will fulfill their requirement. They will obey the Lord. They will be faithful to the church, faithful to the requirement of the Lord in tithing and offering, and they will teach the children. And they will go with the children to the church. They will respect the leadership of the church, and they will teach the children to do that. Let us read verse 42 up to verse 47. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it, thinking he was in their company. They traveled on for a day, then they began looking for him around among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now here we find the Lord stay back in the temple, and he was listening to the teachers. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them a question. Now how he come to know to ask questions? He was listening, he was enjoying the word of God, and he was also asking them a question. And everyone who hear it, he was amazed at his understanding and how he answered. So you know the scripture, Jesus. He is answering according to the word of God. How we come to know all that? Now, the simple answer is that God taught him this. That's true. It's true that God have taught him that. But who was the instrument to teach him all these things? Let's hear the question. Sure, his father Joseph and the mother, because as they are righteous people, they are called by God to teach their children. In verse 40, Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, how the child grew and became strong? Because the parents was giving him food. What was the work of his father? He was a carpenter. He was working and giving him food to grow physically. So he was growing and becoming strong. But how he was filled with wisdom? Yes, wisdom from the Lord. But what the parents were giving him? They were giving him the word of God. Being a righteous man, Joseph, sure, he was following the instruction of God's word in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6 to verse 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Sure, Joseph is a righteous man. He was following this, and he was instructing Jesus with the word of God. And that's why we find also in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, the word of God say, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Yes, God gave him the growth physically and spiritually, but the parents are the instrument for that. Joseph knows the word of God. We conclude that Joseph have taught the children, yes, because he's a righteous man. He should follow the instruction of the Lord in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Teach this command, be upon your heart, and teach them to impress them on your children. So he was teaching the Lord, teaching Jesus the instruction of God. Jesus was a human when he was a child. So he needed the care for the parents. Sure, when he was a baby, his mother gave him breast. When he grew, he started to eat. He was fully human. So he needed instruction. How Jesus was taught? How he study? How he come to know to read the scriptures? Yes, God taught him that. That's we agree about that. But which school he enter? Who was his teachers? And what was the curriculum that he studied? Now, we have read that Joseph was the son of David, and that's what the angel called him, Joseph, son of David. David was a king, so he was a descendant of a king, so he's also king. And that is the genealogy. And Joseph, sure, he knew that Jesus also is a king. So what was the education of the king? In the Old Testament, when somebody became king, what was his education? What was the education of the king? The king have a special education. Special school, private school, and special teachers, and special material for study. Let's open our Bible to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 17 and verse 18 and 19. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the priests who are Levite. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees. What he is required to do? He will take copy of the priest and he will start to write. Not only to read the scripture or the Bible, but he will make a copy for himself to keep it with him, and then to be with him, to read it all the days of his life, and he will learn how to fear the Lord and follow carefully all the word of the law and his decrees and his statutes. Did Jesus wrote a copy of the scriptures? It is not mentioned, but Jesus said, I had come to fulfill the law. Now Joseph was a righteous man. He was the son of David, and he knew Jesus was a king. Being a righteous man, and he knew that Jesus is a king. Have he taught him in this way? Most likely. Because the Bible says he was a righteous man. And I'm convinced that Jesus wrote the scriptures. And that is the way of learning and impartation of wisdom. Even when he started to teach, everyone was amazed of the way he was speaking. Yes, the anointing of God on him, and he is God, but in childhood, he was a child. He was a human. And he was cared by Joseph and Mary. The emphasis here is not about Jesus God. We know that, and we are convinced Jesus is the Lord. And God does not need Joseph and Mary to teach Jesus. He can do it. But we should not neglect and put aside the responsibility of Joseph and Mary as parents. We should not put aside the responsibility of the parents. You should not put aside your responsibility as a father and mother to raise up a godly children in the fear of the Lord. We should not put aside that those who are called to be married, we will not officiate their marriage or such marriages unless we are sure that the man and woman are righteous people, so we will ensure that they will raise up a godly children and godly offspring. How Jesus was taught in which school? At home. Who was his teachers? The parents. And which material they use? The Word of God. How Joseph knew that? He because he's a righteous man. Being a son of David, son of a king, did Joseph pass through this kind of teaching? Most likely. And he needed to do that because that is the requirement of the law. He needed to do that. And he taught Jesus about that. Now, Joseph and Mary, after the birth of Jesus, they have children. The word of God, it tell us about that in Mark chapter 6. Verse 1-3, Jesus lived there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What is this wisdom that has been given him, and that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter's? Isn't this Mary's son, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simeon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Now what we found here, that Joseph have not only Jesus to take care. He is a carpenter, but he has four more sons and he has also daughters. And we know from the book of Acts chapter 1 that the brothers of Jesus, those who have been born from Mary and Joseph after his birth, James, Joseph, Judas and Simeon, they were among the 120. We can read that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Joseph sure have put the seed of God, the word of God, and the discipline of the Lord in the life of his children. And it worked now. Yes, the Lord brought them to him. But Joseph, as a responsible father, he has the rule to teach his children the way of the Lord. From this scripture, Mark 6, verse 1 to 3, we come to know that Jesus was a carpenter. Because this is not this the carpenter. Why he need to work? As a human, he need to work because if you don't work, you don't eat. That is the word of God. Joseph, as example, he was working. He taught his son. He taught Joseph, the son of God, this type of occupation. He need to work. So he was a carpenter. So if you have taught him how to work as a carpenter, sure, Joseph taught him all the rest of the degrees of the word of God. The responsibility of the parents toward the children. Why we use the Bible? We use the Bible as a foundation for marriage, as a foundation for the family, also as a foundation for the schooling for the children. What we can learn from the Bible, what the children can learn from the Bible. Why we use the Bible as a curriculum? From the Bible, we can learn word building, how to write, spelling. We learn languages. We learn grammar. From the Bible, we learn history. We learn geography. We will be aware of origin of people and genealogies. We will be oriented about social status and social classes and social studies from the Bible. We get wisdom. we will learn moral aspect of life, how to live. The word of God also transform life and make us humble, inheriting eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The message that we have received from the Lord is a rich message. As a church, we adopt this teaching as a foundation for marriage and ordaining marriages, and foundation for a family, and a foundation for raising up godly offspring who fear the Lord and walk in His way. As a church of God, we cherish the teaching of the Lord and obey His commands, and we apply them in our life, in the life of our children. Let us come together and kneel at the feet of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word, that we have learned clearly the value of living a righteous life, to have righteous marriages and righteous family, and raise the brightest children who are the leaders for the future. And Lord, as you promise in your word in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, you have said, Lord, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Lord, we know that you have called us and we are royal priesthood, so that, Lord, we understand that we need to live in holiness as your children, and even our descendants, they are the children of the King, they are kings, they are royal priests for you, Lord. We commit ourselves today that we will raise them with your word and in the fear of God. And even, Lord, we follow all your word, how to build up family and ordain marriages and do the things that you want us to do according to your will and plan. Lord, take this message and spread it, like make it reach to those who are waiting to hear your word. The purpose of sending this message, we pray, shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Master. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us. And keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ Jesus our Lord. This is all we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen.